Well, we have been walking through the book of 2 Timothy. And if you guys could put up the sermon title slide. There we go. We've been walking through a series called There Be Dragons. And that's an odd title for a sermon series. Make no mistake. I get that. So every Sunday, I want to make sure that we set the context for why we're saying there be dragons. It's not that your pastor thinks that there are dragons in the world, okay? And that they're lurking around every corner. You see, cartographers back in the day, when they would make a map, they would draw the map to the point that they knew, and then beyond the edges of what they knew, whether it was sea or land, beyond the edges of what they knew, they would say, beyond here, there be dragons. And they were talking about uncharted territory that they couldn't guarantee what happened past this point. And that when we say, Jesus, you are who you say you are, you did what you said you came to do, you came to set us free. You came to do something that nobody else could do. You came because you're the Son of God. You died for me. And then God, the one true living God, raised you from the dead, declaring victory over death, and you have set the path for me to have restored relationship with you that was broken by my choices and the choices of people throughout this world. That when we say Jesus is who he says he is, he did what he said he came to do, and we put our hope and our trust in him, and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, that we call ourselves followers of Christ, that we embark on a journey into the unknown. Say, I don't know what lies beyond here, but I know this, that God has saved me, that I want to follow him, I want to trust him with everything I do, with everything I am. And this letter, this book, we call it a book, it was a letter that a guy named Paul, that God used, a guy named Paul, to write to a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a young, timid pastor. And Timothy had some anxiety about walking into this role of pastor, of leading God's people. And so, God put it on the heart of Paul to write him this letter. And we've been walking through the book, the letter of 2 Timothy. And Paul has said, yes, there's danger out there. In essence, he said, you don't know what's going to come ahead of you. There be dragons, but you can trust God. You can trust the one who has called you, who has equipped you. You can trust the message that we've given you, because the message we've given you is the truth. There be dragons. And last week, we talked about doing the right thing. Do the right thing. When things get hard and we don't know maybe all the time exactly what to do, when we're faced with choices, am I going to laugh at that joke that was severely inappropriate if I call myself a follower of Jesus? That joke at work, am I going to laugh? Or am I going to figure out something else to do? Am I going to enter into this conversation about gossip? Or am I going to do my part to try to turn it the other way? Am I going to treat my spouse the way God wants me to treat them? Or am I going to do what I feel like doing? Am I going to say what I feel like saying? Do the right thing. We talked about as we follow God and as we go beyond the margins of maybe even what we know, what we're comfortable with, that we trust God and we stand on his truth and we do the right thing. John Stott, we looked at John Stott and how he told his apprentice, his assistant, in the very last days of his life in 2011, he said, do the right thing, because if you don't, if you just go with the flow, if you take the path of least resistance, it leads to a life of mediocrity, even if it's a life full of praise. Do the right thing. Do the hard thing. Do the hard thing. I kept saying do the right thing. Do the hard thing. Look at your notes, Bo. Do the hard thing. Today, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we didn't get all the way through 2 Timothy chapter 2 last week, but the rest of 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about we are vessels. And we can be vessels that are fit for the master to use, because in a house, there are different types of vessels. In a house, there are vessels made of gold and silver in a magnificent house. There are vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of earthenware. The vessels of earthenware are for ordinary, everyday use. They're for the servants to use. They're for the servants to use to prepare the meal for the master. But the gold and silver vessels, those are the ones that the master himself uses. And that we need to be vessels fit to be used by the master. That we do the hard thing. That we say, although there may be dragons, I don't know what lurks around this corner, I'm going to trust and I'm going to walk with Jesus in this. Today we're talking about all in. all in. And I want to share a story with you about a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And we've talked about him occasionally over the 10-year lifespan of Southwinds Church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian, a pastor, a teacher. He loved God's word. He loved God. God had miraculously changed his life. He called him out of a what you might call an ordinary family. But he had extraordinary plans for Dietrich. Dietrich lived during the time of World War II, and Dietrich was convicted in his heart, convicted in the very core of his being that he needed to do something about what was happening to all the people, the genocide that was happening during World War II. And he followed that conviction to actually an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler himself. This is a pastor. Not pastors aren't weenies, guys, okay? But he said he had to wrestle within his soul. And whatever his decision was, we're going to leave with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, okay? But he followed those convictions all the way to an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler. It did not succeed. He was arrested. Let me share with you what Dietrich Bonhoeffer was all. He was almost hearing the stomping of the Gestapo boots to take him away and execute him. He wondered on paper what kind of people the church was going to need most when the last bomb had exploded and the last person had been killed. When this dreadful war is over, what kind of people do we need in this world? He said this. He said, what the church will need, what our century will need, are not people of genius, not brilliant tacticians or strategists, but simple, straightforward, honest men and women. Let me give you that one more time. What the church will need, what our century will need, are not people of genius, not brilliant tacticians or strategists, but simple, straightforward, honest men and women. Men and women of integrity. Men and women who we may not be scholars. We may not be theologians. We may not be the ones that are going to sit down and have the most intellectual debate or conversation with somebody. But we're going to stand on God's truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and particularly the end of chapter 3. We're going to walk a little bit through to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All in was one of the best phrases that I think God gave to encapsulate what this chapter, what we divided into a chapter, but what Paul was saying through this letter that God inspired him to write. All in. That doesn't matter how much I know today. It matters that I am all in, that Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to study your truth so that I know your truth today. And it's going to equip me for today, and it's going to prepare me for tomorrow. That we're all in. You don't have to be the cleverest. You don't have to be the best strategist. You don't have to score on the IQ test level of genius. But we must be willing. We must be all in. Read with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. These guys are going to have it up here on the screen. Just a second. No, they're not. Okay. You listen, if you have your Bible, follow along. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of religion but denying its power. Avoid these people. For among them are those who worm their way into households and capture idle women burdened down with sins, led along by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth, men who are corrupt in mind, worthless in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress for their lack of understanding. For their lack of understanding will be clear to all, as theirs was also. So he's writing this letter to Timothy. And Timothy has grown up, and we know from 2 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy grew up in a house of faith. He has a legacy of faith. His grandmother was a devout follower of God. His mother was a devout follower of God. And they were Jews because they were operating under a time before Jesus revealed who he is, the Son of God that came to save the world, the Messiah. But they raised Timothy in a house that said, we will love God, we will follow God, we will know Him. So Timothy has this heritage. He's got a heritage of faith. And he has said that Jesus is who He says He is. He did what He said He came to do. He's put His hope and His trust in Him. And Paul is saying, he says, but know this, in very, very first verse of chapter 3, difficult times will come in the last days. Difficult times will come in the last days. Now, if you've been around church, if you're familiar with the Bible, if you're familiar with theology, the study of God, then you know that we believe that after Jesus came and rose from the grave, that He appeared to hundreds of people, and He gave the assignment to His church, to those that would follow after Him, to say, you need to go. You need to make disciples. That is, tell people about Me. Help them understand who I am. And then let Me use you to lead them into a relationship with Me. Make disciples, those that follow after My teachings. Baptize them. Take them through that picture of what it means that I have done, that I have taken the old person away, I've brought a new person. That they identify with Christ in His death when they go under the water, and they identify in His resurrection when they come out of the water. That we believe that we're to make disciples, that we're to baptize them, that we're supposed to teach them everything that Jesus ever said, everything God has commanded. We're to do this with all the nations of the world, all the people of the world. And Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. We believe there's going to be an end of the age. That Jesus, He went back into heaven to be with God, and that one day He's coming back. One day we have the hope that Jesus is coming back. Now, when Paul here is saying, but know this, difficult times will come in the last days, I don't think he's talking about those days when Jesus comes back. He's talking about the time in between when Jesus leaves and goes back to be with His Father in heaven and the day that He's going to come back. He's saying, Timothy, you're in these days. Southwinds Church, we're in these days. This time where we've been given this great assignment that we're to follow after Christ. We're to follow after Jesus, teaching others to do the same. He says, difficult times will come in the last days. Let me share with you what one theologian said about this. He says, as the vessel of the Christian church put out to sea, that as the church was started, the church of Jesus was started, as the Christian church put out to sea, it was not to expect a smooth, untroubled passage. It has been buffeted by storms, tempests, and even hurricanes. I thought that was a fantastic illustration to say, what Paul is saying to Timothy and what God is saying to us today, that as the Christian church, as every week as you leave this place, having been, I hope, encouraged and challenged, maybe even we've been convicted and we've confessed to God the things in our life that don't need to be there, that we're sent out from this place and that we expect that it's not always going to be smooth water. There will be times of smooth water, but there's also going to be times of storm, of tempests, of hurricanes. And that we need to stay the course. And difficult times will come in the last days. And he goes on to make quite a description of the people that Timothy will encounter along the way. Did you catch all those descriptive words of all the people? Did you catch all those? You probably have to read it two or three times to remember all of them because it's a long list. What do I think we take away from that today? I think we take away, people were people in Timothy's time. People are people today. And we're broken without Jesus. And he said, you're going to encounter broken people everywhere. And it's the broken people that Jesus came to. When he says, at the end of verse 5, when he says, avoid these people, he's not saying, Timothy, you just need to hunker down in your house and gather the people that follow Jesus and you guys just kind of hang out and do your thing. He's saying there are people that will try to lead others astray. There are going to be people that come against you that say, Timothy, you're not giving the truth. The truth is what I have to say. It's different from what anybody else in the world ever says, but the truth is what I have to say. You need to avoid the people that lead others astray. He gives this long list, and in verse 5 he says, holding to the form of religion, but denying its power. There are going to be corrupt people all along the way. You need to avoid those people and lead people to my truth, to the truth of God, the truth of Jesus. He says they're going to worm their way into households. They're going to prey on weaker people. He says that they're going to deny the truth, and they're going to try to lead people to something else. He says it happened with Moses. It's going to happen with you. And what we see today is it happened with Timothy. It's going to happen today. People are going to try to lead you astray. But we've got to be true to God's word. Let's read on. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. You have followed my teaching. You have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecution and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. If you've not read the book of Acts, can I just encourage you? Go read the book of Acts. It's like a movie. It's amazing. The book of Acts, some Bibles refer to it as the Acts of the Apostles. What we like to refer to it as is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is the account when God had promised. He promised, Jesus promised that when Jesus said, I will go, but God will send a helper. He'll send a counselor. And God did. He sent His Holy Spirit to live in the hearts and lives of His people. And it's the story about the start of the Church of Jesus. After He's gone back to be with the Father. And we read about some amazing things that happened. And included in that is this guy Paul that wrote this very letter we're studying. And God's miraculous change of his life, Acts chapter 9. And then the ensuing missionary journeys. That is, the journeys that Paul took across his known world to tell people about Jesus. That he told Jews and he told Gentiles. That is, he told the people that had been called the people of God since a long time before that. And he told everybody else, because in their world there were Jews and there were Gentiles. He took the good news of Jesus to everybody because Jesus said it is for everybody. And we look at some of his missionary journeys, and that's what he's referring to when he says, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. And people were bitten by snakes. It's an amazing story. Read the book of Acts. Right? Good? Even if you have read it, read the book of Acts. Recapture what Paul's saying here. He says, what persecutions I endured. This is a guy who's writing this letter from prison, and he's talking about the persecutions he endured previous. What persecutions I endured. He says, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, says Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, pay close attention to verse 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, let me read to you a short passage from 2 Peter chapter 2. It's just two verses. 2 Peter chapter 2. You see, Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God. What does he mean by that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. What's wrong here? Look at your notes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. First of all, you should know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. Because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, moved by the Holy Spirit, men spoke from God. Now, he's referring to the prophets of what we call the Old Testament, okay? The time before Jesus was sent to the earth. Not the time before Jesus. Jesus always has, always will be. But the time before Jesus was sent to the earth. Peter says, God wrote the Bible. God wrote the letter that Peter was writing, what we call 2 Peter. God wrote 2 Timothy. That all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. He says, Timothy, if you will stick to God's Word, if you will stick to the Scriptures, Southwinds, if you will stick to God's Word, if you will stick to the Scriptures, then you're going to be equipped in this life to recognize truth. Now, in his book, The Gospel According to Starbucks, it's an interesting book, Leonard Sweet tells the story of Ed Faubert. Faubert is what you would call a cupper, and in layman's terms, he's a coffee taster. Anybody here would love to be a coffee taster? Sounds like an okay job to me. His perspicacious taste buds are actually certified by the state of New York. So refined is Faubert's sense of taste for coffee that even while blindfolded, he can take one sip of coffee and tell you not just that if it's from Guatemala, but from what state it comes and at what altitude it was grown and on what mountain. Is that true or not? I'm thinking maybe it's true. But he has so refined his palate that he can know. He takes one sip of black coffee. He can tell you the country it's from. He can tell you what elevation it was grown. He can tell you what mountain it's from. Southwinds. If all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, it's profitable for teaching me the life that God wants me to live. It's profitable for rebuking. Rebuking, not a kind word. Not a word that you say, I want to get up in the morning and be rebuked. That's what I signed up for. But you know what? By God's grace, He gives us His truth so that He can, when appropriate, rebuke us. Like a parent rebukes their children. And they say, no, you're going down the wrong path. I set up some really clear safeguards for you. I set up some really clear guardrails for you. But you're going outside those guardrails, son. I need you to come back in the guardrails. Come back in the guardrails. Let me remind you of the truth, the line that we set up. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting, for training in righteousness. Righteousness, that right standing. Right standing with God, that if we're to live a life of righteousness, of right standing with God, God's Word will train us and equip us. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that the man of God, so that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So as you journey with God and as you go outside the edges of the map that you don't know what lies beyond this point, you say, I trust you, God. Beyond here, there be dragons, but God, I trust you. You say, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the hard thing. God, I want to be all in. And Southwinds, what that also means is that if we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God, then we have to take all Scripture. We've got to take everything in this book, even the stuff that our culture, that our society would say, oh, that's outdated. Oh, this is offensive. We got to be all in. That if all Scripture is inspired by God, then we got to take this and say, okay, God, this is my starting point. Society and culture isn't my starting point. This is my starting point. And if this is my starting point, then God, how do I shed light in this world? God, how do you want to use me? God, how do you want to teach me, rebuke me, correct, train? And how do you in turn want to use me to do these things with other people? And it's under the guidance of His Holy Spirit that He's put within you and within me. That we don't need to be amazing strategists. We don't need to be amazing intellectual. We don't need to be any of those other long, crazy words. What we need to be is all in. What we need to be are people that say, God, I believe you. I believe you are real. I believe your word is what it is. And it's useful. So God, would you help me translate this into following Jesus in 2017? God, would you help me be be a bearer of truth and be all in? Would you help me do the hard thing? God, there be dragons. Like Timothy, I'm timid in nature. I'm not out to take on the dragons. It's just not my nature, not who I am. But God, you've equipped me. Because what does he say in verse 17? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the work of God. And yeah, you know what? Is he going to equip you to perform your job that he's given you to be gainfully employed, to provide for your family? Sure, God's going to equip you to do that. But the good works he's talking about are the things that he wants to do in and through you, maybe at that job, in the home that you live in the family that you're raising. Maybe you're done raising your family. He's equipped you. He's making you complete. He's equipping you for every good work. And that is the work done in and for through his kingdom. South winds. There'll be dragons. Let's be all in. Don't you think? Doesn't that even sound better than saying, well, you know, God's word, it's good. I want to be all in. And I want to say, I believe that God can use his truth and his word to change the people in this world. Because you know what? He changed me through it. Am I special or unique? No. Are you special and unique? I'm sorry, I'm not your mom. No. I love you. All of you. I love you. God loves you more than me. Way more than me. And he says, his word, all of it is inspired by him. And it's good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And it's so that the people of God, his people, will be made complete, equipped for every good work. Let's be all in, South Winds. If you're here and you need to say, God, I want to be all in, now's the time to do that. Now's the time to say, God, I've been treating this like a pick and choose kind of faith. I've been treating this like, you know, I come to church on Sunday and I enjoy it. I like the music. I like the people. But God, when I go out into the world, when I go out and I live my life, it doesn't make a difference. God, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be all in. Then you talk to him about that. God, if I've compromised your truth in my life, then I don't want to do that anymore. The stuff that you've showed me, I'm accountable to it now. And I want to remember that. So God, I want to confess. Or God, you might be here today and say, God, I love being all in. God, I am all in, but God, I want to know more of what it looks like to be all in. Because I think we've got people in every kind of scenario here today. Whatever God is saying to you, this is the time to respond.